Srila Prabhupada's purport, Brahma Samhita 533 states, Advaitam Achyutam Anadimananta Rupam Adyam Paranam Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is the original person, is absolute, infallible, and beginningless. And although expanded into unlimited forms, he is still the same original person, the oldest person, who always appears as a fresh youth. The eternal, blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord cannot be understood even by the best Vedic scholars, but they are always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. Lord Shiva places himself as one of the non-devotees who cannot understand the identity of the Supreme Lord. The Lord, being Ananta, has unlimited numbers of forms. Therefore, how is it possible for an ordinary common man to understand him? Lord Shiva, of course, is above the ordinary human beings, yet he is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is not among the ordinary living beings, nor is he in the category of Lord Vishnu. He is between Lord Vishnu and the common living entity. So the text again. Naham varincho na kumara nardo na brahmaputra munayak sureshaha vidama yasyehitam angsakam shaka atatsrupam pritak isha manina. Neither I, Lord Shiva, nor Brahma, nor the Ashwini Kumaras, nor Narada, or the other great sages who are Brahma's sons, or even the demigods can understand the pastimes and personality of the Supreme Lord. Although we are part of the Supreme Lord, we consider ourselves independent, separate controllers, and thus we cannot understand his identity. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swayantanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadya De Satarne. Lord Shiva is explaining that although he may be on a very elevated platform relatively compared to an ordinary living entity, but even here he says he cannot actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma said something similar. Although others may claim that they've understood the Supreme Lord, but as for myself, I must admit that I have not understood Krishna at all. After seeing Krishna expand himself into all the cowherd boys and all the cows, and then each one of the cowherd boys and calves and cows who happened to be Krishna himself manifested themselves as separate Vishnu forms, and from all different places, Lord Shiva's and Indra's and all types of living entities came and began to worship them. And Lord Brahma became bewildered completely. And therefore Krishna cast his yogamaya over the scene so that Brahma's bewilderment would end. And then he made the statement, others may claim that they can understand the Supreme Lord, but as for me, I can't understand him at all. Of course, we find many people in India, for example, they claim they've already understood everything about Krishna. They read the Bhagavad Gita once and they've understood everything. But we have a different ruler, a different way of measuring how much one can actually understand Krishna. Lord Shiva is saying here, although you're a part of the Supreme Lord, and a very big part, practically the Supreme Lord himself, Shirayata Vridhi Vikari Yoga, if you take milk and you add an acidy substance to it, then it turns into yogurt. So yogurt is neither milk, nor is it not milk. It's actually practically milk, but it's really not milk. So Lord Shiva is like that. By contact with the external energy, he's become Lord Shiva, but he's so powerful that he's the most powerful person in the universe. If anyone fights against Lord Krishna when he has his pastimes, such as the pastime of Banasura, when Usha had, well, Usha's friend, Chitraleka, had kidnapped Aniruddha, and Banasura had arrested Aniruddha by the Nagapasha ropes and bound him in his kingdom, Shonitapura. Krishna, with his army, headed by Pradyumna and Satyaki, came to free Aniruddha. So at that time, because Banasura was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, he actually brought all his armies. Lord Shiva brought his army, including his sons, such as Ganapati and Skanda, Kartikeya. They all came to fight on Banasura's side. To fight against Lord Krishna is not an ordinary thing. You have to be qualified. So Lord Shiva is so powerful, he can even fight against Lord Krishna. And yet he claims he cannot understand him because we consider ourselves independent, separate controllers. So this Chanakapanda begins with the one sloka that as long as one is in a material illusion, one can't even be considered to be a human being, what to speak of a specially empowered living entity. He says, Matrivat paradvareshu, paradvareshu lostravat, atmavat sarabhuteshu, yakpashiti sapanditaha. A pandit, a person with some knowledge, is not a person who's graduated from some technical college, has his PhD or any kind of degree. An educated person is one who sees every lady except for his mother to be just like, except for his wife to be just like his mother. As we know, in modern society, people are not educated in such a way. Practically speaking, they're educated to see every lady, including their mother, to be practically just like their wife. And every lady is supposed to see every man, except for her husband, to be just like her son. But this type of education is not accepted. People would laugh if we told them that this is an educated person. They think that this is old-fashioned. We've already transcended all this so-called sense and mind control, and that the real knowledge you get is become more and more animalistic. More and more free to utilize your senses, whatever they demand that you do. Because Nate Vidu Swara Gutim Vishnu Darashaya Ye Bahir Artamanina, they don't know that the actual goal of life is to obtain Krishna consciousness. They think the goal of life is sense gratification. Chintyam Aparayam Cha Pralayan Tamupashitya Kama pavoga paramam etavam iti nischitya. They think that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement for their anxiety. Just like the present economic crisis around the world, all manipulated by people who are the cheaters, and therefore they're expert at cheating others. Whether the economic crisis is resolved or it's not resolved, still people remain in the same animalistic conception of life. Therefore, there is no progress. Whether someone, one person or a group of people become a thief, or everyone is a thief, it's still basic mentality is thievery. Whether you're able to steal a diamond or you're able to steal a cucumber, the same mentality of being a thief is there. So they may fight who's going to be the biggest thief or who's a respectable thief, but their mentality is basically to steal from Krishna. And therefore, all of them will be chastised by the material energy, whoever, big thief, little thief. And to see everyone's property except for one, to be less like garbage in the street. Not that the give and take theory that you give to me and I take from you. The modern economic theory. Give and take. So this type of mentality is the mentality of the animals, the animalistic mentality. Everything here is mine. Ishvaraham aham bhogi, siddham balavan sukhi. This is all product of ignorance, because everything here is Krishna's property. Ishvashamidam sarvam, yat kinchat jagat jam jagat. Tenak tak tena bunji taha magridaha svakridaham. But because they want to become Krishna himself, take his position, therefore Krishna has given them this illusion that they're actually gaining something in this material world, or that they're losing something, but actually they're simply being subjected to illusion, unaware of their actual identity. And yakpashati sapanditaha, yakpashati sapashati, matrivat paradareshu paradwareshu lostrava atmavat sambhuteshu, to be seeing all living entities to be just like oneself, because that's reality. We're all eternally spiritual souls. We haven't changed our identity. We're simply lying dormant in an unconscious state, taking different bodies. And due to illusion, we think that these bodies, with whatever qualities they may manifest, are us, or we're manifesting them. But actually, we're not doing anything, nor are we manifesting these qualities. There is simply Krishna manifesting himself and through his material nature and giving us the rewards for our sinful or pious activities, or perhaps even devotional ones. In any case, whether good or bad, Krishna says, sharira vang manobir yat, karma parabhite nara, nayam vavi paritam va, panchate tasya hetava. Whether good or bad, sinful or pious, actually all the work that's going on here is being conducted by five factors: the body, the soul, the Supreme Lord, the senses, the endeavor, etc. Well, those are five. So these five factors are what's causing activity to go on in the material world, but actually the soul is not really the ultimate doer. He's simply the desirer. When he's an illusion, obviously he's going to desire in the wrong way, and the biggest illusion is to think himself to be different from everyone else, to be either superior or inferior, or somehow or another a competitor here in the material world to become the Supreme. The Supreme has already the position of the Supreme, and no endeavor in the material world, no amount of illusion or false ego will make us any more the Supreme than we are already not. All we can do is imagine ourselves to be progressing on that path, but actually we're not going anywhere. We're simply remaining here in different varieties of illusion, whether goodness, passion, or ignorance. So that's to become a human being. What to speak of a spiritually aware? The positive side of Matrivat Paradareshu is to understand that Krishna is a Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, that he's the enjoyer of the sacrifices and austerities. Not only we're not the enjoyer, but there is an enjoyer besides us named Krishna. And he's the Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He's the actual proprietor of everything. Not only we're not the proprietors, but there is a proprietor. And he's the actual friend of all living entities. We may think ourselves to be the friend, the saviors, protectors, whatever else, but he's the actual protector. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishingha. Prahlad Maharaj said, Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishingha, that the father and mother may try to protect their child, but sometimes they fail. And even if they don't fail, how long will the child live anyhow? How long can they protect him for? They're going to die, and the child's going to die eventually anyhow. And nartasya, for one who's suffering, chagadam, medicine may be available, or a good physician may be available. It may cure the patient if Krishna wills it, but even if it cures the patient dies anyhow eventually. Everyone dies. Udavanti majitao now, a strong boat on the water may temporarily protect a passenger if Krishna wills it, or not if Krishna doesn't will it. Prabhupada used to use the example of the Titanic. They said it would never sink, and the first voyage, it sunk, and most of the people died. And even one person survived, who was in the boiler room. He got covered with oil, and therefore when he was thrown into the freezing cold water, the oil protected his body from the cold water, and he survived. But 1 month later, he was intoxicated, walking down the street. He tripped and fell unconscious into a little puddle of water in the gutter and drowned. So his karma was, Krishna was, gave him temporary relief from his karma, but ultimately he drowned anyhow under rather embarrassing circumstances. And taptasya ya ihanja shesta taptasya ya ihanja shestas tvad brito tanubritam tva upekshatanam. So if Krishna neglects one, if Krishna doesn't protect one, then one is doomed. And even if Krishna, even if one temporarily is protected in this material world, everyone dies anyhow. Therefore, this idea that we're the controllers, that we're the enjoyers, that we're the saviors of other living entities is not correct. Krishna is the only savior, Krishna is the only enjoyer, and Krishna is the only real controller. And to understand Krishna, how he's doing everything, how much can we actually understand until we become free from these misconceptions? As long as we think ourselves the proprietors, as long as we think ourselves to be the enjoyers, as long as there's some tendency to think ourselves to be the saviors and protectors and the benefactors of others, as long as we don't know who the real controller and benefactor and enjoyer is, then we're not even out of the material concept of life. What to speak of understanding Krishna? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashoshiti Nakangshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhvaktim Labhate Param. When one gets free from all this hankering, lamentation, when one is no longer discriminating between so-called good people and bad people, one understands everyone is a bewildered soul in different species of life. When one works for the better, when one acts as an instrument for Krishna rather than as Krishna, when one surrenders to Krishna, then he comes to the Brahman platform and at least he understands he's not the body. But Krishna says, Manushanam sahasreshu kasyad yadaya siddhaya yatatam api siddhanam kasyamam veti tatvataha. Generally, people have no interest at all in anything spiritual. It's the last thing they want. We don't find advertisements for japa beads in the newspapers. Deities are not on sale in the New York Times. This is not what people are interested in. Because generally, as Krishna says, people are educated as materialists. They don't see anything beyond the material nature. Therefore, they certainly neglect spiritual life because they don't believe there's such a thing as spiritual. And even they have some vague idea of spirit, they think it's impersonal, and therefore they think a spiritual identity would be horrible to have. They think a spiritual identity means that I'm going to go to the spiritual world and I'm not going to get any pay and I'll be in someone's kitchen, the Supreme Lord's kitchen, washing pots forever. And if I complain, they'll tell me where I can go. There's no union there, everyone is just working for the big boss, and he's always the boss. And he gives no one pay, and I'll be lucky even working in the kitchen if I can get a little prasad once in a while. Some people have a misconception, what is spiritual life, and what my identity is. And most of the people, especially in Kali Yuga, neither they have any idea of spiritual life, and many of them don't believe that even material life has any value. They're simply frustrated. If thinking that the ultimate goal of life, at the ultimate end of life, we merge into the void and our life is wasted, is meaningless. So these are the fears, the anxieties, the attachments that plague everyone who's been conditioned by material energy. Therefore, the process of devotional service means to get out of these fears, out of these anxieties, out of these attachments, and then we can begin spiritual life. What to speak of understanding Krishna. Therefore, we shouldn't jump so quickly to the Rasa Leela and imagine ourselves dancing with Krishna. First of all, if we were in the Rasa Leela, which lasts for 1,423,000 years. How many of us could dance that long? After the first, 3 hours, we'd want a break. They didn't even start the introduction for the Rasa dance, and we're ready to retire. So we shouldn't be so anxious to join the Rasa dance. We should be so confident that now we've understood what Krishna consciousness is. That is the process, and part of that process is by occupying ourselves in the Sankirtan movement, becoming a servant of the Sankirtan movement, gradually these attachments, these fears, these frustrations that we have, they'll go away. As we become more and more purified, then as our eternality is revealed to us, and as our ability to think about Krishna more clearly and more consistently is there, then gradually, bhakti mam abhijananti yavan yas chasmi tatvataha, as our activities become more devotional, then we can gradually enter into the mysteries of Krishna's understanding. But if Lord Shiva, who's a liberated personality, the controller of the whole universe, and a great devotee with his own, practically a Vaikuntha planet, Mahashiva Loka, Shishi Radha Gokulananda Kijai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kijai. He says honestly that he can't understand Krishna, so we should be a little bit more humble, or we should be at least as humble as Lord Shiva, and not jump to the conclusion that, yes, I've understood so many things about Krishna because I've read Bhagavad Gita at least once or twice, and I know so many slokas, therefore I've understood Krishna, even if poor Lord Shiva hasn't understood him. Maybe he doesn't read regularly. Maybe that's his problem. Now he's Vaishnava Yata Shambhu. He's the greatest of all the devotees. And therefore, we're just aspiring to become devotees, aspiring to get out of our, free from our material conceptions of life, so that one day we can actually become a devotee. And then gradually we can make progress to actually understanding Krishna. So with that happy note in mind, we'll stop there. Any questions?